If you have a Bible this evening, we're going to get started in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 is where we will begin here in a few moments. It's really good to see all of you out tonight. I really appreciate those who have come to support this gospel meeting that we have been engaged in the past few days. You all have been a tremendous encouragement to me. And I look forward to my time with you tonight and the rest of this week. We're going to get started in Mark chapter 3. 30 silver coins scattered the solemn sanctuary as your heart sinks within your chest. You are filled with emotion. You are full of grief. You are full of anguish as you think about Jesus Christ. Christ, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King of Israel. Christ, the King of Glory, who will soon be the despised, the rejected, Lamb of God, who is lifted up on a tree to pour out His blood for the sins of the world. You are full of emotion as you think about Jesus, who will soon die, and He will soon die all because of you. And so you hastily leave the temple. You find a rope. One end is tied to a tree. The other end is around your neck. And in just a few moments, you will fall headlong, bursting open in the middle, and all of your bowels will pour out all over the streets of Jerusalem. These are the final moments of Judas Iscariot's life. Can you feel the grief? Can you feel the horror? Can you feel the emotion? Can you feel the sadness of that moment? This was truly a sad story. And so the question that we ask ourselves this evening is, how? How in the world could a man who was so close to the Lord, how in the world could a man who walked with God in the flesh for 3 whole years, how in the world could a man who saw the miracles, he saw the signs, he heard the parables, he heard the teaching, how in the world could a man who was so dear to the Lord in the flesh end his life in such a sad, awful, tragic, and heartbreaking way? It all began in Mark chapter 3 when he was chosen by the Lord. In Mark chapter 3, starting in verse number 13, the Bible says that he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Barnabas, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Here in this passage, we see that Jesus selects 12 men, 12 apostles, 12 ordinary men who are handpicked by the Lord himself, 12 men who Jesus had a desire to be with, 12 men who Christ walked with, he talked with, he taught these men. He had a desire for these men to be teachers, to be preachers, to be ambassadors, to be miracle workers, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Jesus selects 12 men, and Judas was one of those 12, chosen by the Lord. So again, we ask ourselves, how? How in the world is this possible? How is it possible that a man who is handpicked by God in the flesh, how is it possible for him to end his life in such a tragic way? It was possible Because not only was he chosen by the Lord, but sadly, he was a man who was conflicted by the world. Judas was a man who was conflicted. He was torn. All of his life, he stood limping between two different opinions. He stood between a rock and a hard place. He had an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. He didn't know whether to serve the Lord or to serve himself. He didn't know whether to obey God or whether to obey man. He didn't know whether to please the Lord or whether to please Judas. He was a conflicted man. He was a torn man. When he wanted to do the right thing, evil lied close at hand. Someone may say, Tim, Judas was an awful person. He never wanted to do the right thing. He was always a horrible, wicked, awful, ungodly man. False. That's wrong. Judas wasn't always a bad man. He wasn't always a thief. He wasn't always a traitor. He wasn't always the one who would betray Christ. He became the one who would betray Jesus. And I know this because in Luke chapter 6 and verse 16, as Luke is listing the names of the 12 apostles, he mentions Judas as the one who became a traitor. That word became connotes the idea that Judas is one who grew into a traitor. He developed into a hypocrite. He grew into a liar. He grew into a thief. He was not always a bad man. He grew into this type of person because he was a man who for most of his life was conflicted by the world. And we see this internal conflict all throughout his life. It begins in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, as Jesus is telling this crowd how he is the bread of life, and those who wish to have eternal life must feast on his flesh and drink of his blood. Many people in the crowd say, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can listen? And the text says, from that moment on, many turned away and followed him no more. And so Jesus addresses the 12 and say, hey, are you going to turn away too? Peter, as he so often does, speaks up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have come to believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Several observations from this text here in John chapter 6. The first is, Jesus preaches to a crowd and many people turn away and follow him no more. But it was the 12 apostles who stood by his side. The 12, including Judas, stood by our Savior's side here in John chapter 6. What is also fascinating is Peter speaks up on behalf of the 12. Lord, to whom shall we go? An all-inclusive word. To whom shall we go? We have come to believe, and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter spoke on behalf of all of the 12, Judas included. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that statement of faith that was made by Peter was just as much of a statement of faith made by Judas. In this moment, Judas recognized that the right thing to do was to stand by his Savior's side. He recognized that true followers of Christ professed their belief in Jesus. He recognized these were the right things to do and this was the right way to behave. He appeared to be righteous on the outside, but friends, sadly, his heart was miles and miles and miles away from the Lord. And I know that because the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse number 70 that Jesus answered them, all 12 included, saying, did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Who's he talking about? Verse 71, he spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Do you see it? For most of his life, he was conflicted. He was torn. He was conflicted. He didn't know whether to serve the Lord or whether to serve himself. He didn't know whether to please God or whether to please himself. He appeared to be righteous on the outside. It looked like everything was okay, but his heart was miles and miles and miles away from the Lord. And we see that again in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, Jesus is in the household of Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is washing Jesus' feet with this expensive ointment. The fragrance is filling the room. Judas smells the ointment and he sees what is going on. And he says to Jesus, "Hey, Lord, hold on a second. Couldn't we have sold this ointment and used the proceeds to feed the poor?" That was the right thing to say. That was the right attitude to have. Judas recognized that true followers of the Lord care about the poor. He recognized that true followers of the Lord are generous. "Lord, we could have sold this perfume and given it to poor people and helped poor people out." That was the right attitude to have. But friends, he was a conflicted man. He was a hypocrite. It seemed like he was okay on the outside, but his heart was so far away. And I know that because the Bible says in John chapter 12 that he didn't make this statement about selling the perfume and giving it to the poor because he cared about the poor. John chapter 12 and verse 6, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He was a man who was torn. He was a man who was conflicted, and this is why his life was a sad, awful, tragic, and miserable story. But not only that, not only was he a man who was conflicted, but sadly, he was ultimately captured by Satan. The Bible talks time and time and time and time again how we can get to a point in our lives where we are so far removed from the Lord. Our hearts and our minds are so seared and they are so callous that we could not care less about despising the Lord. It is possible to get to this point in life. Sadly, this is where Judas was. His heart, his mind, and his devotion was so far removed from the Lord that he allowed Satan to capture him. And so, in John chapter 13, as Jesus is sharing his final meal with his 12 apostles, they are in the upper room. The Lord's soul is sorrowful even to the point of death. The text says that he was troubled in spirit. And he tells 12 of his apostles that one of them will betray him. As these words roll off of our Savior's tongue, the 12 are perplexed. They are aghast. "Lord, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Judas even, is it I?" Jesus says, "It's the one who I give this bread to after I dip it in the basin." John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was leaning up against Jesus' chest. Peter motions to John, "Hey, ask him who it is. Ask him who it is who's going to betray you. Who's going to betray him?" John leans up against Jesus, "Who's going to betray you?" Jesus says, "The one who I give this bread to after I dip it." And so he dips it in the jar, and he hands it to Judas, and he tells him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." And it's fascinating that the Bible tells us in John chapter 13 and verse number 27, after Judas had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Satan entered into him. His heart and his mind was so far removed from the Lord that he was ultimately captured by Satan. Satan enters into him. He leaves the upper room. He finds the Jewish religious leaders. He tells them exactly where Jesus will be. They give him the blood money, and the deed was done. The die had been cast. It was over at this point. He was ultimately captured by Satan. And so, in Matthew chapter 26, just hours before our Lord would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, he is in the Garden of Gethsemane all by himself. He is so sorrowful. His soul is sorrowful even to the point of death. He is on his knees pouring out his heart to God so fervently that he is sweating blood. Blood, sweat, and tears are falling from our precious Lord's face and flooding the ground on which he knelt. "Lord, please, Please, if there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And as he pours out his heart to God, in comes his betrayer with the Roman cohort. It's a legion of soldiers. They have torches, they have weapons, they have lanterns. Judas approaches Jesus. He greets him as rabbi, teacher. He kisses him on the cheek. The Roman cohort take Jesus away and they lead him away to be crucified and killed. And so, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 1, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. And so, filled with grief, filled with sorrow, filled with emotion, and filled with sadness, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 in verse number 3, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. What a sad, awful, tragic, and heartbreaking story. Judas was a man who was chosen by the Lord. Chosen by the Lord to be an ambassador of the gospel. Judas was a man who literally walked with God for 3 whole years, but yet his heart was so far away from God. Today is September the 24th, 2019. And sadly, we are living in a world full of people who seem to be so close to the Lord, but yet their hearts are so far away. People who grew up in the church, their parents were Christians, their great-granddaddy was a preacher. They're in here every Sunday morning. They're here every Wednesday night. They're here every Sunday evening. They're here for the gospel meeting every night of the week. They have a nice suit and tie on. They have a nice dress and heels on. They look good on the outside. Things appear to be okay in their life. But there's this inward battle that is waging war with their spirit. And they are losing day after day after day. After day, they appear to be so close to the Lord, but they are so far away. And so the question that we ask ourselves this evening is, how do I prevent that? How do I keep my life from being a sad, awful, and tragic tale? How do I keep my life from being this horrible, miserable, awful thing? And if it is, how do I change my life? How do I keep myself from becoming like Judas? The first thing that we must do is rejoice in who we are. We must be people who are glad that we are children of God. Judas was unable to rejoice in who he was. The Lord had chosen him to be an apostle. The Lord chose him to be a teacher. The Lord chose him to be a preacher. He was a friend of Jesus. This is who he was. But he didn't rejoice in this. He wasn't glad about this. He wasn't thrilled about this. He wanted to profit off of his time with Jesus. And he ended up despising his time with Jesus. May we be people who rejoice in who we are. In 1 Peter chapter 2, as Peter is writing to these suffering Christians all over the world, he encourages them by reminding them of who they are. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse number 4, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are a spiritual family. We are a spiritual priesthood. We are chosen by the Lord, and we are very, very precious. This is who we are, and this is something that all of us can be glad about. This is something that all of us should rejoice in. Peter continues to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 6, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. If we believe in the Lord, if we live for the Lord, we are an honored people. We are a special people. We are a chosen people. Peter continues to say that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen race. We are people who have been called out of darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. We are people who once were not a people, but guess what? Now we are God's people. And Peter says in verse number 9, he says in verse number 9 that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim, that we may tell, that we may rejoice in the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is something that all of us should be glad about. This is who we are, and for this reason, we should rejoice. And when we rejoice in who we are one step closer to keeping our lives from being a sad, awful, miserable, tragic, and heartbreaking tale. But not only should we rejoice in who we are, we should be people who resist the devil. We must resist the devil. Judas was the son of destruction who was ultimately captured by Satan because he did not resist the devil. Oh, if he would have only looked to Jesus, the man who he walked with for 3 whole years. Oh, if he would have only looked to the example of Jesus, a perfect example of one who resisted the devil. In Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit has led our Lord up on a mountain to be tempted. He has been fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. He is hungry. He is starving. The tempter comes to him, "Turn these stones into bread." Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan comes to him a second time, "Fall down and let the angels lift you up." Jesus says, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The third time, "Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Jesus says, "Be gone, Satan. Get out of here. Be gone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And the text says, when Jesus resisted the devil fled from him, and angels came and were ministering to him. The same can be said for us. If we simply resist the devil, he will flee from us. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. May we be people who constantly resist the devil. He's prowling around. He's stalking us. He's trying to bring each and every one of us down. But friends, we must be on the alert. We must be sober-minded and we must be watchful. When we are sober-minded and we are on the alert and we are watchful, he will flee from us. Satan tells us that we should be succumbed to this world. We should give in to all of our fleshly desires. But Jesus says his kingdom is not of this world. John chapter 18 and verse 36. And whoever is one of the Lord's children will deny himself, and he will take up his cross, his death instrument, daily and follow the Lord. Satan tells us to give in to our desires. Jesus says serve him and follow him. The question is, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the Lord, or are we going to serve the devil? Satan tells us that when we sin, we're done. Satan tells us that when we sin, there is no hope. Satan tells us that when we sin, we should just throw in the towel and quit. That's what he told Judas. Judas, you sinned. You betrayed your Lord. You betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Give up. Kill yourself. That's what he tells us. But Jesus says quite the opposite. Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 and verse number 25. And those who believe in him, though they die physically, though they may mess up, if they believe in him, if they serve him, if they strive to do better, they will live. The question is, who are you going to serve? Don't serve the devil. He is a liar. He is the father of lies, John chapter 8 and verse 44. And his sole mission, John 10:10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And every single day, he will pollute your heart. He will pollute your mind. He pollutes society. He pollutes this world with all of this garbage. When he does, take those thoughts captive, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and obey the Lord. Resist the devil and obey the Lord. If we do that, we are one step closer to keeping our lives from being a sad, awful, tragic, and miserable tale. But not only that, third and finally, we must be people who choose the Lord. We must be people who ultimately choose the Lord. Judas lived his life limping between two opinions. Do I serve the Lord or do I serve myself? Am I trying to please man or am I trying to please? Make a decision. Only if he had made a decision, his life would have been so much better. Only if there were so many people in our world today who would make a decision. Make a decision. Choose the Lord or choose the world. You can't serve both. I love what Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, just before he dies, Joshua has led the children of Israel into the promised land. He has allotted the land between the nations. And just before he passes away, he tells the people in verse number 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if it's so hard, if it's such an awful thing for you to do, if it's so hard for you to serve the Lord, what Joshua is saying is, don't do it. Don't serve him. But you can't stand limping between two different opinions. You can't serve all these false idols and all these false gods and serve Yahweh. You can't serve both. You have to make a decision. But if you're going to call yourself a child of God, if you're going to receive all these physical and all these spiritual blessings, then you must serve the Lord. If you're going to dwell in this house, if you're going to dwell in this camp, then you must serve the Lord. That's what Joshua is saying to the people, and that's the message for us today. If it's evil to us to serve the Lord, if it's such a hard thing, if it's such a burden for us to serve God, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't come to church. But don't stand limping between two different opinions. Don't have one foot in the church building and one foot in the world. Don't have one foot in the faith and the other foot in the fire. You have to choose one. You can't serve both. That's the point. Judas was trying to serve both, and his life ended up being a sad, miserable, and awful tale. You're either going to love one or hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one or despise the other. But you can't have it both ways. You have to pick one. And the best decision is to pick the Lord. Choose the Lord. Oh, if Judas had have only chosen the Lord, perhaps we would have been telling a much, much more pleasant story this evening. If you're here this evening and you have not chosen the Lord, why forsake so great a salvation? The Lord has done so much for you. He sent his Son to suffer and to die for you. That actually happened. God came to this world and he died for you so that you could have eternal life. And if you believe that but haven't acted on it, then what are you waiting for? Make a decision today. You're never going to find full satisfaction in the things of this world. You're always going to have a God-sized hole in your heart until you choose the Lord. When you choose the Lord, that hole will be filled and you will have a wonderful, wonderful, abundant life. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, this is the perfect opportunity to become one. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and turn away from your sins. Confess the name of Jesus, the sweetest name that has ever rolled from mortal tongue, and have your sins completely washed away in the watery grave of baptism, rising forth, walking, living in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you made mistakes and you would like to make things right this evening, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.